Why don't we just have a word of prayer as we start, ask the Lord's direction, and Jack Humphreys, would you lead us, please?
Father, we do thank you for meeting together and consider this most important thing that you've given us this time. Lord, thank you for Jim and his research on this. Pray, Lord, that you would give us a new angle, a new outlook, or a new slant. Lord, would you convict us and teach us this hour in Christ, we pray.
Any kind of a meeting should have some kind of a scriptural basis. I'm sure we all agree. And so we are familiar with Ephesians 5, 15, and 16, which ends up by saying that we are to redeem the time. And this word, redeem, indicates that the time is already gone, someplace else. And we have to get it back if we're going to use it properly. Phillips' translation of Romans 12:2 has something to say about us not allowing the world to squeeze us into its mold. But that's what's happening, isn't it? I think the first time I ever thought about this subject was when I was in the third or fourth grade in school, and I remember a little quotation down at the bottom of the page. I don't know what class it was in, but it said, "Lost between sunrise and sunset, two golden hours, each set with 60 diamond minutes." And then it said, "No reward is offered, as they are gone forever." In a little bit, we're going to talk about some priorities and planning, but I was thinking as I wrote down some notes on this subject of a fellow I knew who had a rather long driveway. So one day, he was backing out of his driveway, and something happened. The accelerator stuck and began to pick up speed, so he sideswiped both sides, backed across the street, smashed into a parked car and did quite a bit of damage to both of them, his car and the other. So somebody talked to him later about his accident and says, "Why didn't you just reach over and turn off the ignition key?" And he said, "I was too busy." Well, that's all what happens. And we're too busy to get around to the priority of the moment. Now, I've got two mimeograph sheets that I'm going to hand out, and as soon as I give you this one, you may start reading it. Then I'm going to give you a second one, and when I give it to you, I'd like you to turn it over and not read it. We're all ready to read together, okay? One sentence in this first paragraph that impressed you more than any other. If so, what was it?
Jim.
Yes.
He found sufficient time in the 24 hours of the day to do the whole will of God.
How many of you underlined that statement as you went through it? What other statement did somebody else have? Carolyn?
I underlined, "Time held no power over him."
All right.
Perfect control.
Okay, something else.
Quiet and steady confidence in his father's purpose. Never in a hurry.
Yes, and linked to that was something else.
That every man that's alive is a plan of God.
All right, I'm still fishing for one other thing.
Well, there were no more any more important concerns than
I couldn't underline the whole thing. I tried to. When he was with someone, there was never anything else. That was the most important thing at the moment.
Yes, that was the one I was fishing for, in addition to the others. That no matter who he was with, if there was anything more important that he had in mind than the person he was talking with, he never betrayed it. And I think probably he did not ever have anything more important in mind. Well, we won't take a vote on which one of these is the most impressive, but as I've used this on a number of occasions, most people pick out the one we had first, here in the most of you underlined, which is the application that we want to make at this point. And that is that if we agree with this, there is sufficient time in every 24-hour period to do the whole will of God. Are we agreed on that? Well, that's an important place to start, isn't it? All right, now you can take the other sheet, if you will. And I had permission to reproduce this from the copyrighted owner on the condition that I use it just in the Navigator's ministry. So you can take this sheet with you, but be very discreet in the handling of it. So will you read this carefully and do the same thing? Pick out principles that you think are important and that we will discuss later. So we'll take 5 full minutes to go over this. Well, I think I misjudged your powers of comprehension. So maybe we can go ahead after 3 minutes instead of 5 here. Now, will you just name back to me some principles of the use of time that you think are in this illustration.
First thing first.
Okay. Sometimes refer to this as priorities, don't we?
Organization.
Okay. What else? We ought to get 7 or 8 out of this. Go ahead.
One thing at a time, but he said first things first.
Program.
Concentration.
Okay.
Finish.
Knowledge of what has to be done.
Knowledge of which is first, which is most important.
Think and then act.
Okay.
More doing than knowing.
Anything else? We'll come back and pick up some of these.
Setting a goal.
All right. Do any of these things in here have any application to you? Where you are? In a book written several years ago about the FBI, one of the things that was brought out in the book was that it was a requirement of, I don't know whether it still is or not, but apparently at least one department, that no agent went home. That is, his working hours did not end until he had written down his plan and schedule for the following day. So they didn't work by the bell. That's when the man's day's work was done, when he had completely planned the following day's work. Now, in what is priority, in the Navigators, we have some guidelines we follow because we don't want to think just about our work. But we tell our staff that priority one is our relationship to God. A priority two is the welfare of our family. And priority three is our ministry. Because neglecting one or two could negate the third. We had a speaker for couples conference several years ago, and I've heard his wife speak, Helen Morgan, and she said those who say that their family ruined their ministry. She was talking particularly about Christian workers. Discover that their family was the ministry. Now, a lot of people don't agree with that wholeheartedly, but these are the priorities we set. So, in many cases, many of you, the third priority would be your work. Then what? Now, I'd like to let you debate that a little bit. You probably don't agree that that's right, do you? What do you think should be first? Or are you in agreement?
I agree with the principle, and I certainly negate the relationship to God should be first, but I'm wondering about the practical working out of it. I'm thinking of a mother with four kids. You know, if she sits and studies the Bible all the time, kids aren't going to.
Well, now, we'll probably get off of the subject here in several directions. I have a theory on this that you've just mentioned. And I know what it is to be in a large family. My wife and I, when we first started out, we had 6 preschoolers all at the same time. And of course, later on, we had 6 teenagers. So I know what you mean. I believe that, I just throw this in, God gives a special dispensation of grace to mothers with young children. In other words, it doesn't take nearly the time or effort to keep strong spiritually. And I think a young mother can depend on this. But we're going to talk about the more practical aspect of this in just a little bit. Anybody else have any comment or thought?
Isn't there an overlap in here, Jim, between 1 and 2, and 2 and 3, and 1 and 3?
They're pretty closely related, I think so, yes. All right, now let's toss in one other thought, and then we'll try to put these together. I like to think of my day as consisting of three main areas. The first area is in the realm, I call it projects. The second area is routine. And the third area is the unplanned. Now, we could refer to that third area as another name, but what do you call it other than the unplanned?
Disturbances.
Crazy, unforeseen.
All right, we could use a different term, but I think we all know what we're talking about here.
Doorbell.
Okay, these are right, the things that are very practical. Now, I realize that your experience can't parallel mine, and mine can't parallel yours, but I'm going to give mine, and then we'll make a comparison here. Sometime, generally the day or night before, or early in the morning, I pick out 6 or 7 things that I feel that this is what I must do today. Now, I think there's a great tendency for us to avoid what is our responsibility in order to help somebody else with theirs. And this happens on the highest management levels, that the president neglects what he should be doing because there's certain things that only he can do, because he sees that the vice president is lagging a little bit maybe in his job. Now, this may be his highest priority to get him on the job, but it may be to get somebody else to get him on the job. But this is very, very important. I think that we come to a conclusion of what is the most important things for me to do. Nobody else can do them for me. So, in a normal day, probably when I first start out the day, I'll start to work on what I consider is number one. And maybe it'll require some of the efforts of other people. So then I'll get into a little bit of routine things that are coming along that never end. And then there'll be a few things that were unplanned that come into the picture. And then there'll be a little spare time. We'll get back on priority one. And this is the way the day goes. Well, when noon comes, I can tell pretty well how things are going to turn out. So if it appears that I'm not going to get my projects completed, then I immediately say this is more important than the routine. So if the routine, it'll always wait a day or so, is absorbing prime time, I'll leave. I'm not around where the routine is going on. So it can't captivate. Now, I don't want to miss anything that's unplanned, but we can't build our lives around that which might happen. So, I disappear. And if somebody wants to see me or get in touch with me, it just can't happen. Because this didn't happen to be in the highest priority, because I'm determined that I'm going to get those 5 or 6 things done before the day's out. And I want, like the illustration said here, as he said in the, what is the fourth paragraph, don't be concerned if you have only finished one or two. You'll be working on the most important ones. And I think that we deserve to end the day believing that my time has been spent in that which was the most important. And there's some satisfaction in that, isn't there? I was talking with somebody recently that he had to take a couple weeks off to recover. He has a pretty demanding job. And I told him, I said, I've got a theory as to what puts you out for that 2 weeks. I think that you go home every day feeling like that things have come in that have taken your time. When you end the day, you said, I've missed it again. Because you did not have the satisfaction of feeling that you had been working on that which was the most important. So this was pretty hard on him. So I'd say it'd take a couple weeks over to recover. And when he came back to work, why, he got some help from other people to let him concentrate on what was his main job. Now, this kind of an approach won't work for everybody. I was talking with a secretary one day, and she said, but I'm not free to do that. And my secretary isn't free to do this. I said, now, wait a minute. Your project, your number one project during office hours is to do what I want to do. You don't have any other project. Well, this didn't have to be my secretary. It was another secretary. She said, yes, but I'm interested in the Lord's work. And I try in the spare moments to write letters to people, make phone calls, do a little reading, you know, redeem the time in between. I said, it'll never work. It'll tear you up. Now, if you feel that you do not have adequate time to do your job and to keep up with what you want in the Lord's work, I'd suggest you get a half-time job. And then that half day is your number one priority. Now, suppose in the matter of the routine that I begin to get behind on my correspondence and begins to bother me a little bit. What do I do but make that the number one priority? This is priority one, to get this cleared up. Now, in the case of a housewife, there's quite a bit of routine. There isn't it? Well, this can be divided up into blocks. And probably your three or four of your projects during the day are to complete certain elements of the routine work. Down through the years, my wife has gotten discouraged occasionally. And has told me on more than one occasion, she said, well, I just can't do everything. So I have tried to give her a little assistance. I said, now, if you really believe that, then you're on the road. On the road to solving the problem. We can't do everything. Not a one of us. I think in our entire lives down here, we won't even accomplish a fraction of 1% of what we'd like to do. So that's a good place to start. I can't do everything. So I'm going to decide, I'm going to believe that there's plenty of time in the 24 hours a day to do the whole will of God. And I'm going to have the satisfaction of knowing that I'm working on the most important things. Now, in the unplanned, have you ever gone in to see somebody in an unplanned way and gotten the impression that you were really inconsiderate to break in? They can hardly wait till they get rid of you. That ever happened to you? Or do you give anybody that impression? In the first sheet we handed out, Christ never gave anybody the impression that he had anything more important to do than just spend the time with. So this is where the unplanned comes in. I believe that you and I have a right to ask God every day not to allow any circumstance to touch our lives, not according to His perfect will. and believe it. And so when that phone rings, that's not an interruption. When the unplanned came up, I was thinking of Hebrews 13:2, where the warning is given that many have entertained angels unaware. God will send somebody across your path in an unplanned situation. And let's be careful that we don't give them the brush off because we've got something else to do. So I feel one of the projects, the priorities, is to leave some room for the unplanned. But as I said earlier, if the projects start lagging too far behind, well, then this ceases to be a priority for the day. Now, I'm going to review these things that we talked about here in a minute, but I think any real value that can come out of time like this together is what originates with you and your comments, questions, and suggestions. So what do you have to say at this point? Yes?
Over a period of time, do you learn how to decide which is the most important? Sometimes it's hard to know which things are more important and should be priorities than other things.
I think probably there will never be universal agreement on this, particularly among those who exert certain kinds of pressure on you, social pressure and otherwise. They won't agree with your priorities. But I certainly think that this should be a conviction with us, that I am doing what is priority for me. And as I say, others don't agree, well, that's all right, this is my conviction. This is what I should be doing. Yes?
Several years ago, this $25,000 secret deal, I tried on a weekly basis. It worked excellent in business. Every Saturday evening, we would write a list of things that needed to be done the next week, but we wouldn't number them until after we got the entire list completed. And then we'd number them in priority, number Monday morning, star number one. We never completed the list all the time I was doing that. It did save an awful lot of time and a lot more productivity.
And it is a fact also, is it not, that priorities change. That water line breaks, well, then your priorities change.
The unplanned come in and become priorities.
Can what?
The unplanned come in
yes.
And become priorities.
Yes.
Top of the list many times.
Very quick.
Yes, I think you get word somebody wants to see you immediately. That jumps to the head. You decide, but many times it'll jump to the head of the project list. Yes.
This seems to be our way of operation at my office. We're always spending 80% of our time on the things that come up instead of on our routine or on our schedule.
Well, I would say any time the unplanned takes over the initiative, that I would be concerned about that.
What made you say that you thought busy mothers and housewives had a special... what did you say? I can't remember.
Dispensation of grace, I call it.
Yes. What made you say that?
Well, it is, I think, a fact that a mother with young children, she does not control her time. Quite a bit of it is a control for her from early in the morning and through the day when those children demand attention, they've got to get it. So somehow, in our devotional life before Him, a little time goes much further. I've seen it work. Now, I can't believe that God allows children to come into a home to make the parents backslide. This may happen, but that doesn't seem like very logical, does it? There to be a blessing. And your own spiritual life, stability, and growth is to take place in the midst of this. So I would suppose that it would be very easy for a young mother to be defeated. Well, I've known quite a few of them that this has happened to, you know, that before they were married, had an hour in the morning and, you know, just all the time they needed to cultivate their spiritual lives. And they get married, have children, and all of a sudden, it's just not the same. So I think the real error in there is believing that the same amount of time is required to accomplish the same result. So probably there's a matter of conviction in here, you know, convicted because I don't spend as much time as I used to instead of looking at the result. Now, I would want to add with that that when the time does become available, then I think God puts the law in reverse. And you've got to use the time available to get the same result. I don't have any scripture for that, but that's what I believe. Okay, someone else. A comment, or a suggestion, or a question.
Do you think you could make a general statement that anyone who has a full-time job, that is priority?
Well, I think this, you know, is something that we've got to decide. And if we think we're in the will of God, it seems to me this is the normal conclusion to come from. Now, I've had sessions like this several times with groups, and one year we had a gentleman who was a lawyer. His wife was his secretary. He had a two-way communication in his car to be in touch with his office, and she went with him every place he went. He was a traveling secretary just to keep ahead. He was the president of a bank in his town. Besides being the president of the bank and a practicing lawyer, he was a CPA also. And all this ran together. And he said, I put in about a 16 to 18 hour day. And he said, I make a lot of money, but that isn't my objective in life. I just don't know how to get off of this thing that I'm on. And he said he made the practice always to answer his own telephone when he was in his office, or he would see anybody that wanted to see him. He said this was kind of frustrating because most people come to see him would use up the first 5 minutes apologizing for interrupting because they knew how busy he was. So he spent a great deal of his time in apologies. And so we talked about what you said here. I said, well, I think you've got to just come to a conviction as to whether or not this is your priority. If this is your number one priority to spend 16 to 18 hours a day in just doing whatever comes up, well, then, okay, that's priority one. You can have the satisfaction of knowing you've worked on the most important. But I told him I thought there were other ways. You should talk about this matter of the telephone. Now, I know most people, when they call you, they want to talk to you, and they are a little bit chagrined if they feel like they're getting the runaround. But the telephone is a great interrupter of priorities. And I find that there's times that with the phone, I just ask my secretary, will you get the number to him? I'll call them back. And then when these things accumulate, 10 or 15 of them, well, I evaluate the priority and keep the initiative on. Now, I don't like to do that. Other people don't. But the telephone can wreck you sometimes. And what comes over the telephone, then it becomes number one priority just because of the pain in your eardrums. That's the only reason you go, it's the noise, you got to shut it off. Let's see, I don't know whether I've ducked all the way around your question or not. I believe this is something we have to decide. And for the most, in most cases, just as a flock, I think that a person that's working for someone else for wages, that is their priority during whatever working hours are. And it's frustrating to try to recapture little bits of time to do what you want to do in between, isn't it? But that's my conclusion, yes. And if this isn't workable, maybe God wants you to change jobs or take one that's less demanding. Yes. Well, I think that's probably not a real good word, but it's the best I can think of. I mean, there's spiritual welfare, and there's physical welfare, and I would say there's mental welfare. That's what I'm thinking about. Now, I'm thinking more about husbands than I am wives, although there's a degree in which wives have this same responsibility. The Mettinger Institute over in Nebraska made a study a while back of mental breakdowns of top executives and found out that 60%, if I remember the percentage correctly, was not because of their jobs, but their home life. They didn't have their house in order. So, unless we are adequately providing for the welfare of our family, we can't do a good job where we are, I don't think. That's all I have to say. Is that any other question you can ask on that? Maybe bring out more. It's easy to get absorbed in your work and neglect the family, isn't it? Husbands. Okay, any other thought or suggestion on this? Our time is rolling on here.
Jim, you have a large family. What do you do to protect the welfare of your family? Can you share some personal anecdotes here?
I think a key in this is intensity. Now, if you take children, they have little concept of time. And I wouldn't want to be unkind, but I just might suggest that if this is an hereditary characteristic, that it may be more prone to be inherited from one parent than it is the other. If you follow me here, on the concept of time, that you tell a child to do something, and they have every intention of doing it. Well, what you mean is now. But to them, 2 or 3 hours from now, same thing. You communicate, you do it, yeah, I intend to do it. So, maybe this works a little bit adverse, but if you don't have time for them, now this makes an impression, but just 2 or 3 minutes of intensity, you know, that can be hours. This is an impression you get, that when you give attention, whether it's the children or the wife, yeah, it's wholehearted intensity. So intensity of attention to the wife and family makes up for it's a lot more profitable than many hours of being less intense. Well, that's just a thought. Well, any other thought or suggestion? Well, let's review here a little bit. What's one of the outstanding statements in this first handout I gave you? First one we talked about here. Yeah, that's one I think the first one we mentioned, one Ellie mentioned.
Well, God can be done in 24 hours.
Yes, there's plenty of time to do the whole will of God in every 24-hour period. Now, in the second handout that we had, the real key to this is deciding what is priority and sticking with it. Actually, after you get number one done, number two moves up the top of the list. Okay, now I made a suggestion of the three priorities. What were they? Relationship to God. The second one is the welfare of the family. The third is our work, our ministry. Now, I just suggest the way I observe my day. And just to review that for any value it might be, what did I say? I like to think of it as being what was first?
Projects.
The second
also being priority.
Routine. And the unplanned. So I don't get much done, but I sure enjoy it. Any other word that anybody has? Nick Reynolds, will you lead us in closing word?
Lord, we thank you for your everlasting